Amen. If you have not already, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. And the reason I want to be in Exodus chapter 12 this morning is because on the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he instituted this event, as you know, out of the Passover event. He was celebrating the Passover event with his 12 disciples the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, which we are celebrating this morning. And so I want to take a close-up view of the Passover this morning and draw some elements from it that we can apply to the Lord's Supper. I want to ask three questions as we look through the Passover event in Exodus chapter 12. Number one, what is the supper? Number two, what should we remember while taking the supper? And number three, who should partake in the supper? So number one, what is the supper? This is what the Baptist Faith and Message says. Our church endorses the Baptist Faith and Message. Here's what it says. The Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience, a symbolic act of obedience, whereby members of the church, through partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, memorialize or remember the death of the Redeemer and anticipate his second coming. And so that's what we're doing this morning. The Lord's Supper is a time where we solemnly reflect on the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And this service this morning has a different feel than any other of our services that we go through. I'm not going to be preaching from the book of Jonah this morning. Quarterly, our church takes a time out just for the Lord's Supper, appropriately so. This is a very special and different event that has a different feel than our usual worship services. Now, that is not to say that our usual worship services are not full of the Holy Spirit, are not that there is no passionate preaching in those services. There are all those things. But this service is special, and it is different. It should be taken and received by all of us as being a more serious service, as being a more solemn service, as being a service where we remember the worst and the best event that's ever taken place in human history, which is the death of Jesus Christ. The worst being because our Lord and Savior was wrongfully tried and crucified. The best event, in the sense being, he did that in your stead, in my place. The death that you and I deserve to die, Christ substituted that for us. And that is never to be taken lightly. It is to be taken with a seriousness. And it is to be taken with a heart that honors the Lord Jesus Christ for this service. It's also a picture of the gospel. What we are going to be doing in a minute, whenever we partake of the juice and the wafer, is symbolize or give a picture. And so, kids, I want you eyes up here for a second. We are so glad. Another thing this church does is for the fifth Sunday, the Lord's Supper, we invite our CWX, our Children's Worship Experience, that is usually going on during the service. We invite them to come because we want you kids, we want our children here of our church to view this picture. It is meant to be a picture of the gospel. The children, the juice that we are taking symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. And the little wafer that we take symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for you. And this is a tangible, right? We touch it with our hands. We eat it with our mouths. This is a tangible picture of the gospel. And so parents with little children, I'm going to be doing this later on today. I really encourage you. And the reason why we invite our children in to view this picture is so that your children later on would look at you and say, Daddy, Mommy, what's up with the grape juice and what's going on with the wafer? Tell me, explain to me what the adults were doing in the worship service. And then, mom, dad, you have an opportunity to say, son, daughter, I'm so glad you asked. Let me share the gospel with you so that you may also be saved and later eat and drink of the supper together. And so, boys, I expect you later to ask daddy what this supper was about. Kids, I expect you to go home. Parents, I encourage you to go home and talk to your kids about this great and glorious picture of the gospel. So what should we remember while taking the supper? Let's look at the Exodus event. As you know, this event is the event that Hebrews, that Jews look back to in their history and say, this was the apex of our history. If you ask a Jew, what was the most significant thing that Yahweh did for us and our people, they would say, without hesitation, the Exodus. The Exodus event. And the context of this chapter is a salvation from judgment. That's so important that we remember that this morning. So I want you to wrap your mind around that concept. This is salvation from judgment or through judgment. When you present the gospel, that is not one way to present the gospel. Salvation through a coming judgment when you're talking to your lost neighbor or your coworker. This is the way we present the gospel. You cannot explain salvation without the context of a judgment, of a coming judgment. You say, hey, brother or sister, I would like for you, I invite you to place your faith in Christ and therefore be saved. And their question, rightfully so, should be saved from what? Saved from what? And the answer is, unashamedly so, there is a coming judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come the second way in a very different way than he came the first time. The first time he came to save and to give his life as a ransom for the world. The second time he comes to judge. And the Bible teaches that judgment is coming, church. And it is coming quickly. It is going to happen at a moment that we do not know. So salvation, what we present to you this morning in the picture of the gospel, is a salvation through or from judgment. And that's what's going on in this context. It is the 10th plague that God administers upon the Egyptians. At the expense of the Egyptians, he is saving his people, his own people. This is a salvation through judgment. Let me read it to you. The Exodus event. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Make no mistake, church. The Lord's Supper and the Passover brings with it, the first thing that I want to present to you is a seriousness. There's a reason why the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper during the Passover event. This was a very serious event in Israel's history. The 10th plague of Egypt, in which the people of Israel were commanded to kill a spotless lamb and take the blood and wipe it over the doorposts of their house. Parents were to take this blood and smear it on their frame because the destroyer angel was sent by God to destroy. This was salvation from judgment. A very serious and awful and sad time in the event of the Bible. So much so to where God says and promises there will be no screaming and crying in Egypt. It had not happened like this before, and there will be no screaming and no tears quite like this afterwards. This is a singular event in history where God, where Yahweh came down in a mighty way and took the life, as you know, of all of the firstborn. And in this manner, set his people free. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart in this story. And he would not, until this moment, set the people free. And so because of the serious nature of this Passover event, where everyone who had the blood on their doorposts were going to be passed over, this is to be taken, the supper is to be taken in a serious and solemn manner. I encourage all of you to be examining your hearts this morning. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says you are to examine yourself. Examine your own heart this morning. Are there any sins in which you need to confess to the Lord so that you can participate with a clear conscience in the Lord's Supper this morning? So that we are not flippantly or unobservantly holding the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for you in any other manner other than a serious, reflective manner. So that we're not holding the plastic cup of juice in our hand that symbolizes the blood of Christ. The blood shall be a sign for you in any other manner other than a serious manner. So the serious nature of the Passover is the first thing I want to share with you. The second thing is the speed in which Israel was set free. Look at Exodus 12, verse 11 one more time. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. The Israelites ate it so quickly that their bread did not have time to rise. Their bread, there was no leaven in the bread as of yet. And this event was remembered, is still remembered, by Jews, where they left in haste. And what this symbolizes is the speed in which you were set free this morning if you are in Jesus Christ. Celebrate it this morning in your heart. Sandals on your feet, belt fastened, staff in your hand, dough in your hand, ready to go. God is about to set you free. And if you are in Christ this morning, that is exactly what you are. You are free indeed. Run from your sin in haste. When Christ did a miracle and saved somebody, he would then say, go and sin no more. The speed in which the Israelites were saved by the Lord symbolizes the speed and the security and the definitiveness in which you and I were saved the moment you trusted in Christ. You are free this morning if you have repented and trusted in Christ. Praise God for it when you take the supper in a few minutes. Look at Exodus 12, verse 13. I emphasize this in the prayer time. Third thing, the blood shall be a sign for you. The blood shall be a sign for you. And I love the symbolism here. This is not just for individuals. This is for houses. Dad, mom, take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and smear it all over your house. Let your neighbors know that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for households this morning. And so if there is a person in your household, a child under your roof, bathe them metaphorically in the blood of Jesus Christ every night in family devotions. Share with your household the good news of Jesus Christ in that you don't have to be a slave any longer in your sin. When you're in sin outside of Christ, you're a slave. The Lord Jesus Christ releases you from that by and through the death, burial, and resurrection of himself. Now I want you to look at a verse also in chapter 11. Looking back at Exodus chapter 11, before God does this, God reveals a distinction. And the third question I asked is, who should partake in the supper? And I want to take the principle from the distinction made here in the passage and also make it and apply it to the Lord's Supper. Who should take the supper this morning? The answer, only Christians. Only those who have repented and trusted in Christ. If you are not that way this morning, let the juice and the wafer pass over you this morning in a serious way and contemplate and search your own heart. And the message, the invitation for you this morning is come to Christ. As this is being passed over you, realize that a coming judgment is imminent, and speedily, hastily, place your trust and your faith in Christ. Look at Exodus 11, verse 7. Listen to what God says. This is fascinating. Very interesting. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel. This is God speaking. Either man or a beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. The Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Not even a dog will growl at my people because I am about to set them free. They are protected by the blood that they are wiping on their households. There is a distinction being made here. And as a church body, what we want to say to you, if you are here and you know you're lost, here visiting, perhaps for the first time, observing the way this church does the Lord's Supper, what we want to say to you is you are invited. You are invited to every worship service that we come to. The distinction, and the reason I am highlighting it this morning, is because God highlights a distinction. The supper is to be only taken by those who have already placed their trust in Christ and who are currently placing their trust in Christ. So much so in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says do not take this supper in an unworthy manner. And what he means by that is if you are not placing your trust currently in Christ, simply let the cup of the juice and the wafer pass over you this morning. And the picture of the gospel is so vivid this morning when that happens, when we do this as a church body. There are churches and entire denominations that do not highlight this distinction. And they are making a huge mistake. Because the distinction that we make during this picture of the Lord's Supper is exactly what reveals the need. The distinction reveals the need. When there is no difference being made between the lost person and the saved person, the lost person could rightfully so ask, well, there's no difference, then I don't have to do anything to be saved. I do not have to repent or place my trust in Christ. I am no different than the Christian sitting across the aisle from me. But the way, watch this, the way that God reveals the gospel, the way that God shows and highlights the picture of the gospel is by making a distinction. The way that we love you this morning is by highlighting the distinction and the difference. If you are outside of Christ, there is a coming judgment that you do not want to be a part of. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, there is a coming judgment for you in which the message and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is you do not have to be judged one day. You do not have to be condemned. We invite you to the table by making the distinction, not dismissing the distinction. The distinction reveals the need this morning. As our ushers come up and begin to prepare the table, let me read to you the way in which Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper out of the Passover. This is from Matthew 26. And it says this. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so let me encourage you now, as we transition to partaking in the Lord's Supper, begin examining your hearts, confess any unconfessed sin. We invite you to go to anyone in the service today that may have wronged you or that you may have wronged and make friends with your fellow brother, sister in Christ again, be reconciled to them, and then take the supper. Do whatever it is that the Spirit of God is leading you to do today.